As we gather together here today for our second Sunday of Advent, we come together and I'm sharing a message this morning called The Light Brings Love. Each year as we begin our Advent celebration, we're reminded that that word, it really means or reminds us of the coming of the Christ child. And as I've been studying and preparing for these messages over the last few weeks, I shared last Sunday that I'm using a little devotional booklet called The Star, A Journey to Christmas. And I shared this quote last week, and I'll probably share it the next several weeks, but I really like what it tells us, that Advent is not just an extension of Christmas, it's a season that links past, present, and future. And so reflect on that again for just a moment this morning. You know, as we celebrate Christmas, we really should think about the past. We should think about that first Christmas morning when Jesus was born, when he came here as a baby to earth. As Larry Hamlin and I were talking this morning, you know, he raised the question to me and he said, you know, he wonders how many people celebrate Christmas and they don't think about what it really means. They don't think about the past. They don't think about the birth of Jesus. They celebrate with a tree, they celebrate with lights, they celebrate with all of these activities, but really don't think about what Christmas means and the past and the reality that Jesus did come. We get so focused on the present, we get so focused on all that we have to do that it takes away from our focus of the past and Jesus' birth. But how many of us also then think about the second coming? And think about the reality that indeed Christ is coming again. As we celebrate Advent, it's real easy for us to focus on what's happening here and now. But let's remember the Jesus that came and the Jesus that's coming again. Our Advent celebration this year, it really includes 5 Sundays. And I said last week, I encourage you to make every effort to be here on Christmas Day as we kind of celebrate the Advent, the coming of Christ and his birth. Last Sunday, we talked about the subject of hope and the hope that people had for a great light to come. Today, our focus is love, and the light, Jesus, brings that love into the world with his birth. In the Sundays to come, we'll talk about joy and peace, and we'll celebrate the birth of Jesus then on Christmas Day. I asked you last week to kind of keep that verse, Isaiah 9:2, in your mind as we celebrate Christmas. And the very simple phrase that I'd like for us to remember is that we have seen a great light. We know that Jesus has come into the world, and so let's celebrate that this Christmas as we gather together here at church and as we go out into the community. Remember that we have seen a great light. So with that theme and with that idea, this morning I'd like for us to focus in on the light and the light that brings love. And we'll be looking there at John's Gospel, which Scott read for you a piece of that a little bit earlier. But as we talk about the light, we need to remember that that light has come. But as John writes in his Gospel, he tells us that the unfortunate reality is that when the light, when Jesus came, that he was unrecognized. He was unrecognized by his own people. And even today, there are so many who do not recognize the true light of the world. Not only was the light unrecognized, but the light was rejected. And John writes about that here in his Gospel. Think about that. Think about Jesus, who came to bring light to a world of darkness. He was rejected by his own. He's rejected by so many people. And in spite of him not being recognized, in spite of him being rejected, he came to show love. He came to show love to all those who would choose to believe. Let's go back there to John, and we're going to back up a couple of verses from where Scott began, and we're going to begin by looking at John 1, verse 6. And here in John's Gospel, it's important to remember that in these early verses that John is drawing a distinction between John the Baptist, which we talked about in Sunday school class this morning, and the recognition that John the Baptist would be born. John the Baptist was a witness of the light. He was a witness of Jesus coming into the world. And then John in his gospel talks about the true light. And this true light was prophesied about, this true light was proclaimed, and this true light was professed. And so in verse 6, John wrote this: "There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." So again, thinking about our theme verse of Isaiah 9:2, we have seen a great light. Here, John in his gospel is writing about that light. And we heard and we learned last week that light was prophesied about. Again, Isaiah 9:2, we have seen a great light. I'd like you to turn back into Isaiah's prophecy, though. I'd like you to go to chapter 42. And we're going to go through a few verses here that tell us that this light was to come. And as we know and realize, the light did come. So in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6, and listen to these verses and hear the light. In Isaiah 42, 6, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles." Now listen to verse 7. "To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, who sit in darkness from the prison house." So there we see another prophecy of this light. And what was that light going to do? That light was going to shine in those dark places, shine in those dark places for prisoners, for the Gentiles, for all who would come to believe that Jesus was that light. Turn a page or two to Isaiah 49. In Isaiah 49, 6, and again, listen for the light. "Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." So there we see again a light to the Gentiles and a light that would provide salvation. And one more verse, now in chapter 60 of Isaiah. In chapter 60 of Isaiah, this time in verse 3, "The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising." So as John writes in his gospel that there's a light that will come, we recognize and we know that that light did come in the person of Jesus. And we see all of these prophecies that there was a light that was to come into the world. Jesus proclaimed that about himself. And I shared this verse with you last week, and it's John chapter 8, verse 12. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus put it very simply. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And then if you flip ahead to chapter 9, Jesus also said in chapter 9, verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So John, in his gospel, he writes about the light that is to come. John the Baptist was a witness to that light. The light was prophesied about. We saw that there in Isaiah. Jesus himself proclaimed that he was the light of the world. And now go to the book of Acts, because in the book of Acts, there's a really great passage of scripture in there. And it talks about how Jesus was professed. Jesus professed himself to Paul on that road to Damascus when Paul was struck blind in a physical darkness. And then Paul was able to profess Jesus as the light of the world as he was facing trial, as he was facing condemnation for his preaching. I want you to hear about this light. So in Acts 26, first in verse 15, and this is that exchange between Saul, before he became Paul, and Jesus on the road. "So I said," this is Paul speaking, "Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand to your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I really appreciate how Jesus says there in that passage that he is sending Paul out to open people's eyes, to turn them from their darkness and to the light. And who is that light? That light is Jesus. Now skip down a couple of verses to verse 22. And this is Paul professing Jesus as the light to those who are condemning him and wanting to put him on trial. And he says this, "Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." So when John talks about this light that is to come, this light that has come, the world, you and I should really know that Jesus, the light of the world, has come. It was prophesied about, it was proclaimed by Jesus himself, and it was professed to other people, Jesus to Paul, Paul to those that were condemning him of what he was preaching. And Paul was saying that Jesus was the light that had come into the world. And so it's very clear, as John wrote here, that the light indeed had come. And John says, this is the true light that gives light to every man. As we read verses 6 through 9, as we expound upon them with scriptures from the Old Testament and the New, it should seem as though that nobody should miss that light. But then we read John 1:10. In John 1:10, he was in the world. That's Jesus, the light. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Think about what John's saying here in verse 10. He's talking about the fact that Jesus was their creation, that Jesus was at the right hand of the Father. He left his home. He came into the world that he had helped to make, but yet people did not recognize him. They did not recognize him as Jesus, the Son of God. They did not recognize him as the light of the world. Again, let's look at what the scriptures tell us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, this is one of those familiar Christmas passages. The angel was speaking to Joseph. Joseph is tormented about whether or not he should take Mary as his wife. And in Matthew 1, verse 20, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." So Jesus was leaving his home in heaven. He was coming here to be born of a virgin. And then in John 1:14, a little bit past where we are today, John wrote this, "And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Again, the Word became flesh. The Word came to be a light. But the world would not recognize him. And we back up to the beginning of the chapter. And we see that Jesus always has been, that Jesus was there at the creation. This is why John was saying that Jesus came into that world which he had helped to make. In verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." There we see again that Jesus was there at the beginning. He was life, but he was also light. The Father, the Son, they're one. In the beginning, at creation, all of that creation took place by the hand of the Father and the Son. But all of those things happened. All those things took place. Jesus came into that world that he had made, but yet the world didn't recognize him. All those prophecies, just a few that we talked about earlier, but yet the world, they didn't recognize him. Chuck Swindoll had a really neat quote that I shared in the slide this morning. And he said this, and you know, in our worldly minds, this might help this to click a little bit. But he said, imagine Walt Disney coming to Disneyland on its opening day in 1955. But nobody even acknowledging him or acknowledging the fact that everything in the park had come from his imagination and creativity. And that really stuck with me. Just imagine somebody at Disneyland welcoming guests and maybe somebody taking Walt Disney by the arm and saying, let me show you all of this. And not recognizing who Walt Disney was and that it was his imagination and his genius, if you will, that created all of that. And then somebody kind of talking down to him and saying, well, look at what we've done and look at what we've made. And you know, isn't that the way that the world feels about Jesus? God the Father. Look at what we have in this world today, and people ignore the Creator. And people ignore the gift of the Son that came to save us from our sins. And we can build up all these things in the world today, but apart from God and apart from the salvation that comes through the light of the world, we really have nothing. And so he came into the world. The light came into the world, but the world did not recognize him. But we're not done, because we go to verse 11. And in verse 11 we read, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus came first. The light came first for the Jews. And the Jews, they did not receive him. The Nelson Study Bible says, receive here means to receive with favor. It implies welcome. Instead of a welcome mat, Jesus had a door slammed in his face. And so here's the light that came into the world. The light that helped to create the world. He came for his own. His own received him not. His own slammed the door in his face. That the Jews had all these prophecies that the light would come. We read that one last week that in Isaiah 9:2 that there was a world living in darkness, but yet there would be a light to shine on them, and they shut the door on that light, and they wanted nothing to do with that light. Go to John chapter 12, because in John chapter 12, Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus tried to tell people, hey, I am the light. But again, door closed, door slammed. The people didn't want to hear it. And it's really amazing how John brings all of this together so that we can see the prophecy of the light. We can see the arrival of the light. We can see the rejection of the light. And we hear it through the words of Jesus, and we hear it through the words of Scripture. Because in John chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Jesus again is trying to convince his very own that he is the light of the world. And while he's there with them, they have the light. He is imploring them to turn from darkness and to turn to him. But there were all the prophecies that foretold that the light was coming. There were also the prophecies that foretold that that light would be rejected. Look now at verse 37 there in John chapter 12. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw the glory and spoke of him. So there we see it. There's all of these prophecies that the light would come, but there's also these prophecies in Isaiah 53. Who will believe our report? Who has heard and not considered? That's Isaiah 52. In Isaiah 6, we read that the people would have dull hearts, heavy ears, that they would shut their eyes. Warren Wiersbe says, Jesus is the true light, the original of which every other light is a copy, but the Jews were content with the copies. They were content with the copies, and they didn't want to hear, and they didn't want to believe that the true light of the world had come upon them. You know, as we think about that, and as we think about that from a human perspective, that the light of the world was prophesied, that the light of the world came, and then that light was unrecognized, that light was rejected, from our own human perspective, we would say, why? Why would God do that? Why would God give up His Son to come into the world that wouldn't recognize Him, that would reject Him, that would want nothing to do with Him? But yet John talks about that. As John gives us the reality that yes, the light has come, but the light has been unrecognized and the light has been rejected, John also talks about the love of God and the love of the Son and the purpose in Him coming. And we pick up now in John 1, verses 12 and 13, but as many as received Him. There's the great part of this. The great part of this is that while Jesus was rejected, there would be those who would come to believe. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. A couple of chapters later in John's Gospel, John talks about the love that God had for each and every one of us. We might wonder why God sent a light, why He sent His Son, who would be unrecognized, who would be rejected, but He did that because of the love that He has for you and me. And Jesus the Son had that same love. And that same love came down in that manger. That same love is going to take Jesus to Calvary, where He'll be crucified for our sins, so that we might, as we look at verses 12 and 13 there in John 1, so that we might receive Him, so that we might believe in Him, so that we might become His children. When we become His children, we're full members of the family of God. That's the reason why the light came. And it's not because of blood. It's not because of the flesh. It's not because of any works that we would do, but it's of God. And it's the gift that God gave in sending us His Son and granting us the opportunity to believe in that light that came and gave His life for all of us. For God so loved the world that He sent that light into the world so that we might receive Him, we might believe Him, we might recognize Him and accept Him so that He might be our Savior and we might spend eternity with Him. John writes about the light, and he tells us that the light came into the world, but the light came into the world for one reason and one reason alone, and that was to extend the love of the Father to us so that we might become His children. If you go to 1 John 4:9, we read what this love was all about. In 1 John 4:9, In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The love of the Father, the love of the Son, sent his only begotten so that his only begotten might become our sacrifice for sins, so that we might be able to be called the children of God and we might have eternal life through him. And Christ extended that love to all of mankind. And that's the other great part about this. The other great part about this is that the light didn't just come for his own. We read that he came for his own and many of them rejected him. But in all those prophecies in Isaiah, we read that the light came to be a light also for the Gentiles, for you and me. The light in that love is available for all those who would believe. And Jesus said that. In Luke chapter 19, that's where Jesus had the encounter with Zacchaeus. And we remember that when he had that encounter, there were so many people that were questioning Jesus about, why did you go to his house? Why did you go into the house of a tax collector? And Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost, to bring light, as we might say today, to bring light to a world of darkness, even to somebody as wicked and nasty as a tax collector. The light came to shine on darkness in all places and to shine on darkness in all of man's hearts. And that little booklet that I've been reading in preparation for Christmas says this: the amazing thing about our journey to Bethlehem is that it's open to everyone. We're all invited to celebrate the fact that Jesus' love broke down all the barriers and draws us to personally experience the love of God. But it takes just one thing. It takes us to recognize him. It takes us to accept him and realize that the light brought love. Love to reveal our sin, love to take us to the foot of a cross, love to cause us to understand that Jesus gave his life for us if we only would just simply believe. And Warren Wiersbe put it very succinctly. He said, the light is still shining. That light may have come, but that light is still available to a world in darkness if we just simply choose to believe in the love that the light brings. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. We thank you for a reminder of your great plan. Lord, when we think about Christmas, we think about the birth of your Son, the birth of your Son in a stable in Bethlehem. But Lord, the Christmas story, it really began so far beyond that. It began clear back in the beginning. It began clear back in the garden when man first sinned. And your love did not want mankind to die to those sins, but to be able to experience eternity and eternal life. And so from that very first sin, Lord, you put forth a plan that would send your light into the world. That light that John writes about here in his gospel, that light that we read about being born in Luke chapter 2, coming into the world to bring hope and peace and assurance that a Savior indeed was born. Lord, we thank you for that little glimmer of light that began in the garden and that shone brightly that first Christmas morn. We thank you, Lord, that that light still shines. Lord, it would be my prayer this morning that as we celebrate Christmas, that no one here in this room today would go away not having accepted the gift of love that came from the light that you chose to shine into the world. Lord, help us to be reminded that Christmas is a season of love, an expression of your love for all those who believe upon the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that gift. Remind us of that gift and remind us that indeed a light shines in the darkness that brings salvation to all. We pray and we ask these things in your name. Amen.